Father, we thank you this morning that you allow us to be here. We're only here through the death of your Son. And we are here to honor the one who came in order that we might have life. Lord, teach us again and again that there's only life in Jesus. Religion will not save us. Good works will not save us. Good intentions will not save us. The only thing that will save us is faith in your Son who came and who did what no one else could do and what only he could do, and that is give his life for us on the cross and then rise again and then ascend back to you, and in doing so, purchased our eternal salvation. So, Lord, today impress it on our hearts again as never before, and that your desire is to save the world, but the world will only be saved as they are drawn to your Son and as they put their full faith in him as Savior and Lord. Teach us this truth over and over again, and may it be the focal point of all of our efforts to see people saved and come to you. Our prayers, our witness, may we understand this fully. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We want to talk about a Greek word this morning. It's a short word. It's only three syllables. Maybe we can even remember this word. The word is helkuo, and it's a verb. And it means to drag or to draw. And then metaphorically, it means to draw over or to persuade. This little word has two forms, helkuo and helko. It only appears in the whole New Testament a total of 8 times. 6 as helkuo and 2 as helko. It means to draw, and I believe as in a pulling action, to drag, as in a pulling action toward yourself. And it is used twice of Jesus in this passage that we read this morning. First, that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. And secondly, in chapter 12, that when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. Now, the word is only used 6 other times in the New Testament. Once in John 18:10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. So it's used once of drawing a sword out of its sheath. Then it's used in John 21:6. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some, meaning some fish. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So there it's translated in the NIV, haul in, but it means to drag it in, to pull it in, the net. They would pull it in that way. John 21:11, Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Then the word is used twice in the book of Acts. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Acts 21:30, the whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. And the last time this little word, helko, is used is in James 2:6. But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? So one way you can find out kind of the scope of a Greek word is if you have a Strong's Concordance. I'm just curious, how many here have a Strong's Concordance? I have a few. It would be one of the best, if you like to study the Bible, it'd be one of the best tools you can ever do. Because as you look at the English word, you can find out everything the Bible says on any topic. You can look up the word love, and it'll give you every verse in the Bible where that where that word appears. Faith, whatever. And then there's a little number, and that's either the Hebrew number or the Greek number. And then in the back, you can find out what that Hebrew or that Greek word means. And then as you go down the column, if you're in the New Testament, if you read all of the verses with the same number, then you know that's the same Greek word. And that's how you do this thing. And by looking up a number of verses that use the same Greek word, because you don't, it's not always the same in English. Words, I used to do translating. You know, sometimes you might translate the same Spanish word with three or four different English words. And the same is true with Greek and Hebrew. So if you really want to know the scope of an original Greek word, just look for all the same numbers and look up all those verses, and you'll find out what, just like here, what the scope of that word is. But I think you'll agree from what we've read, this word means to draw by force and to drag and to pull to yourself or to carry along. And so Jesus says these two things here when he's having when he says the first thing when he's having his conversation with the Jews. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then later he says that when he is lifted up. Now this doesn't mean when he ascends to heaven. It means when he's lifted up on the cross. And it says so right there, that he said this in relation to the kind of death he was going to die, that he would be lifted up on the cross. Jesus had said to Nicodemus, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what I want to talk about today is the role of God in drawing people to himself. When we want to see people saved, when we want to see people come to faith, there's an action there of God to draw them. And it's a partnership there. He's drawing. He's using us. He's using his word. He's working through the Holy Spirit. He's using your witness, as Grace shared with us this morning. He's using these things. And by his Spirit, using these things, he is drawing people. It's still up to them to respond, but he is drawing. And without that, nothing can happen. And that is what Jesus is saying. So I want us to take a little journey this morning about this principle of the draw. Without God drawing, nothing happens. Nobody comes to the Lord on their own. Nobody comes to the Lord just because they wanted to come to the Lord. And they woke up one morning and said, I want to come to the Lord. If they woke up with that thought, it's because the Lord's already drawing them. And that's the point of the word of the Lord. So let's go through a few of these observations here based on these passages and based on this truth. Number one, based on John 6:44, God draws people to himself. And he draws people to his Son. God draws people. That's what redemption is all about. That's what salvation is all about. That's what looking for the lost sheep is all about. The lost sheep's out there. Why are they lost? Because they wandered away. They went their own direction. All we, like sheep, have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it's not us seeking for him. It's him seeking for us. And so God draws people to himself. And a big part of redemption's work is exactly that. In fact, that's how it happens, is by God drawing. We're all lost. We all start out lost. So in order for salvation to take place, God has to draw us to himself. All right. Number two. Salvation is a divine operation. Start to finish. And we know that it's God that took the initiative. It's God that sent his Son. Jesus did the whole work of redemption on the cross. When he got to the end there, just before he died, he said, what did he say? He said, it is finished. Meaning redemption's plan is now complete in its totality. It is finished. Salvation is a divine operation. It is not an operation of man. Man's wisdom will never lead you to the cross. Man's wisdom will never lead you to the cross. I bumped across some little program on 8:50 a.m. yesterday afternoon. I never listened to that station. And I bumped on it just in time to hear a man and a woman on there. Oh, yeah, there are some great ideas in the Scripture, and there's some great ideas from some other holy books. And they all are great ideas, and we ought to embrace those ideas. But it's just so bad that those ideas are embedded in religion. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get those ideas and practice them without all those religious trappings? That's when I just about lose my temper, folks. I can't listen to that mess. And I turn to another station. Man will never take you to the cross. Man's wisdom will never take you to the cross. Man's religion and his ideas and his loftiest thoughts will never take you to the cross. He will always take you in another direction. It will always take you into self-action or self-help or self-realization or something like that, but never to the cross of Jesus Christ. Salvation is entirely God's operation. Number three, man is incapable of saving himself or even moving in the right direction without divine help or intervention. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him." Without some divine help, without some divine intervention, it is impossible for anybody to even make a move toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They are incapable of doing so on their own. And so as we pray for people, we need to pray for God to be actively drawing them to himself. I believe there are a couple levels of this. He's drawing all men to himself in the sense that he has made salvation available to all people. And he's put general knowledge of himself out there. But I also believe that there is a specific work in an individual life and in an individual heart that comes about in a more intense way, in a more targeted way, in a more intentional way as a result of the prayers of the people of God on behalf of somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And that is why we pray for the people that don't know the Lord. Otherwise, what good would it be to pray? And there are those, even among Christians, who have taken this verse to mean that God draws some people and he doesn't draw other people. Let me tell you something. I don't believe that for a minute, because it's not consistent with the rest of Scripture. And if God draws some people and doesn't draw other people, let's just stop preaching the gospel altogether, because he'll draw them, and the ones he wants to come to him will come, and the ones he isn't drawing aren't going to come anyway.
Amen.
But it's inconsistent with the rest of Scripture, because it said it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, at least in the general sense, God is drawing all people. But without that, not one salvation would happen. In other words, he's not only provided his son and sent him in the flesh and had him go through everything he went through and had him scourged and mocked and tried and hung on a cross and laid in a tomb and all of that, but now, ever since that time, he's actively in the world drawing people to his son. And that's going on right now. Hopefully right here today. But it does take divine intervention. Because without divine intervention, nobody's going to come to the Lord. Number four, God is drawing all men to himself through his crucified son. That's how he's drawing them to himself. And Jesus said it in that verse. He said, "If I be lifted up, then I will pull all men to myself." So that's how God is drawing them to himself. Number five, the only way to the Father is through the Son. John 14:6. Jesus had said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So he's the way by which God is drawing people to himself. Number six, Here are three big ways that God draws people to Himself. God the Father draws people through these instrumentalities. Through the work and ministry, the Father draws men to Himself through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So He draws people to Himself through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He draws people to Himself through His Word, through the Word of God. What do we preach? We preach the Word of God. We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach the ideas of men. I don't get up here with a volume of War and Peace and preach from that. I don't get up here with some philosophical book and preach from that. We preach from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. God draws people to Himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. He draws people to Himself through the Word of God. And yes, He draws people through Christian witness. When you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. When somebody opens their mouth and says what the Lord has done for them. At John Hurd's funeral, we shared that last Monday. John Hurd, who worked here 13 years, he was a man who couldn't hear well. I made the comment that when they were traveling with a car full of kids and stuff, that probably worked to his advantage. He couldn't hear that well. But he could read lips some kind of wonderful. And I can truly say, I don't know if I've ever met anybody that loved the Lord more than Al Hurd. You didn't have to wonder if Al loved the Lord. And he would get a hold of somebody and he'd just start sharing to them how great the Lord was and how good the Lord was and how many things the Lord had done for him. His daughter Nancy said, when I was there sitting doing the interview and getting the information, she said he was one of those who could be witnessing to somebody before they even knew what he was doing. Because he's just there telling them how good the Lord was. Yes, the Lord uses Christian witness in order to draw people to Himself. And these are the ways that He draws people. And that's how He's going to draw the people. The people that you want to see saved in your family or in your place of work or in your neighborhood. That's how He's going to draw them. And He may just use you as one of the instrumentalities to do it. But we need to target our prayers and we need to focus our prayers. And we need to be saying, Lord, be actively drawing these people to Yourself. I'm praying that more every day. The choir sang that new arrangement of Draw Me Nearer, Nearer. Two or three weeks ago. I almost asked Jessica to sing that one again today. And I could hear it going through and the Holy Spirit would take over and it would become an intercession. Because that's a prayer. Lord, draw us nearer to Yourself. Draw us, woo us, actively pursue us, and draw us to Yourself. And they're not going to come except the Lord draw. Now, they still can say no. But without that drawing power of the Lord, our evangelism is going to be very, very inefficient at best. And we need to be praying more focused, more specific. Lord, be actively drawing this person to Yourself through Your instrumentalities, through the things that You know to use. Be working in this person's life and be actively drawing them to Yourself. I can do so based on the Word of God because it says right here that the Father draws people. And so, Lord, I'm taking You at Your word that You're going to draw them. Number 7, the fact that God draws us to Himself by various means and that salvation is entirely His work does not release us from our responsibility to respond. And here it is. He draws, we respond. And that He's done all He can do. And then the next step is ours. We have that saying, and now the ball is in your court. He does the drawing. Somewhere we've got to make a decision. I was thinking this week of that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And the question always is, come on, is that your... And I was thinking, how scary. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus shed His blood for you. Jesus came that you might have life. Will you receive Him as your Savior and as your Lord? Well, right now I've got too many other things going on. Right now I've got some other things in my life I want to enjoy or try out. Right now I've got some other philosophical things I'm checking into besides Christianity, because I think they may have some validity as well. Right now I just don't think it's a good time. Is that your final answer? I hope not. Because at whatever point, the negative answer is the final answer. We are forever lost. But up until that time, as long as there is a breath in our body, even if it's our last breath, if we call out to Him and say, Lord, I believe You died for me on the cross. I believe You gave Your life for me. We will be saved. Amen? It says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, meaning calling out to Him, Lord, save me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His name is Jesus. I like that. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Conclusion, if God is drawing people to Himself, number one, and number two, if people can only come to the Lord with divine help, and number three, if God works through the Holy Spirit and His Word and Christian witness to bring people to Himself, then these are the areas we should be focusing on in our prayers for our unsaved friends. And I pray this Easter season that we will be praying this way as never before. And I pray that this Easter season, God will be actively drawing people to Himself through your invitation, through your witness, through your prayers, through the work of His Holy Spirit, through the preached message, through the message in song, through the dramatic performances, whatever means the Lord has at His disposal, where His Word is shared, where the truth is shared, that the Lord will be actively drawing people to Himself as never before. And let me tell you this, that when you say to the Lord, Lord, please actively be drawing so-and-so to Yourself, when you say those words, if you really mean them, you had better be ready to be part of that drawing if He tells you to. Are you ready to be used of the Lord? Are you ready to be part of the process whereby the Lord does what? Draws. That's an active verb. It implies a certain amount of energy and force. It implies intentionality to be used of Him to draw people to Himself. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You do draw people to Yourself, because if You did not draw them, no one would come to You. You are drawing people to Yourself from every nation and every language and tribal situations and great urban centers and places of great affluence and peace and in places of great disaster and poverty. In all of these places, You are drawing people to Yourself, and You're using Your Word, and You're using Christian witness, and You're using the work of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that these would be multiplied worldwide worldwide in these closing days of time. And we pray that we ourselves, Lord, would be an integral part of this process here on the home front, in our church, in our Sunday school classes, in Awana, in our homes, in our neighborhood, in the homes of our friends, in our place of work, in all the places where you take us and you put us, that we would be an integral part of this process, Lord, by which you are drawing people to yourselves. May we pray this more focused and more in a more direct fashion and with a greater fervor, Lord, and a greater consistency than we ever have before, that you would be drawing people to yourself and that then you would be showing us opportunities to show your love and to reach out in order to supplement that, and that you would be bringing and drawing people to yourself in this year of 2010. We pray that you will use every avenue and every means, Lord, in our church and in our community to actively draw those to yourself. For except they come to you through Christ your Son, they are lost. And so we pray, draw people to yourself and use us in that process. That's our prayer today. And we do mean it. And we do ask it as we are here before you this morning. Thank you for saving us. Help us to be used of you that others might come to know you the same way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.